Good morning. Today is Friday, September the 23rd. Joining us this morning is Flyboy, Cody Rogans. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
You're embracing it now. did I tell you about the book that I read? I know you're kind of a baseball geek also.
Uh-huh.
Go, Judge. the Ted Williams book?
No, you didn't tell me. Last time we talked about Vin, that had just happened.
Right, right.
Yep. But you didn't tell me about Williams book.
Shoot me an email next time. Okay. I'll bring it in. It's about the guy, the Air Boys.
The Fly Boys. Yep.
That were Major League Baseball players.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
Oh, and it's like somebody's daughter after her dad or granddad had died, found this stuff in a trunk, and nothing was really shared. And new photographs of these guys and stories and everything.
That sounds enthralling. I've read the Fly Boys book, which is excellent in giving perspective, not just of the Fly Boys themselves, but impacts on family members, both the Fly Boys family members, but also the missions that they carried out on the other side, and talking to family members and the impacts. So,
My one takeaway like before we bore everybody to tears, Charlie Gehringer, Hall of Fame, second baseman, Tigers, right?
Yep.
Went in, was part of this, didn't come back to baseball.
Wow.
So a lot of... stayed military.
Sure.
Became a trainer. Uh-huh. And so a lot of this, you get those types of real stories instead of, he played minor league baseball for 3 years, and he went up to the majors and did really well, and now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Here's a couple of pictures, next.
Right.
And you move on to the next guy. So
some real impacts on the history of our country,
All right, so as long as we haven't turned everybody off so far.
How are those ratings doing?
Yeah. You know what the airplane's like when it glides down to land?
Yeah.
We're going to have to change the trajectory on this thing pretty quick.
All right.
Great outdoors is our category. You ready?
Yep.
Why do we say or use the word cinch?
I would assume it has something to do with a knot, but I think that's the first time I've ever had a decent guess. Maybe decent.
Maybe.
A cinch knot?
Could be close.
Okay.
City-bred adventurers who flocked to gold fields in the 1849 encountered many strange customs. Not the least of these was the use of a novel saddle girth for horses. Instead of using English-style belly bands with straps and buckles, Mexicans of the Southwest employed twisted ropes running between two rings. Such a piece of gear, called a cinch, was far more adjustable than any equipment familiar in the East. A rider who knew how to fasten a Spanish cinch could lace a saddle so that it stayed in position all day. Clumsy buckles had to be adjusted frequently. Such is the holding power of the cinch, and its name is employed to stand for anything that's a sure thing.
That was in the ballpark? In the ballpark?
I think you're at the hot dog stand.
Sometimes I don't get beyond that.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to pass up a colossal dog.
Yeah.
Have you ever... Okay, we're going to geek out in just a second
here. That's fine.
Ever been to the Arlington, the Rangers?
I haven't been there.
You've heard about their hot dog, right?
No. I'm sure it's Texas-sized.
It's either 2.5 or 3 feet.
That's like twice the Costco.
I wouldn't know. Divulging all kinds of health food tips here this morning. But yeah, and they, I know it's like $25, $30, something like
that.
Wow. But, it's like, you want family-style dining? Yeah. Boom, there you go.
on a little healthier note, I have been to Target Field in Minneapolis to watch my Twins and had a great walleye sandwich there. So I think that's a little lower cholesterol. And
And what was the liquid associated with that walleye sandwich?
Water, just like this morning, Brian.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my. You know, it's got to be interesting what you do professionally to be able to bop around all over the place and see some of these things, because they're in the towns where you're going for your meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was in meetings with airports from across the state last week and had to have the microphone. You're not the only one that borrows me a microphone from time to time, and didn't know some of the folks in the room. So, yeah, was dropping don't you knows and you betches, talking a little bit about my history, just like I do with you. But,
You didn't share any of the professional tips and techniques that you've developed because of this program.
No.
Okay, I didn't spill the beans.
We were all sharing ideas on, you know, how to solve problems at our airports, and had some good conversations about our, you know, last 3-4 year history with our airports here, and just throwing ideas out on trying to help other airport managers prevent having to go through, you know, what we have with our compliance issues and, you know, everything we were dealing with before getting all these grants. So
okay, so now you're saying regulatory and the airport, mm-hmm. state, local, national,
yep, mostly
environmental,
mostly state and federal. We had a little bit of discussion on the environmental piece, but a lot of it is, I don't think people out there realize how much paperwork is involved with managing an airport. You pump
you
a
mean
lot in, of paper.
Interacting with the federal government generates reporting and paperwork?
The best part is the last page on most of the forms we sign off on is a little flyer about the Paperwork Reduction Act. You know, disregard the 80 pages before that. But
somebody had said that since we've gone paperless, right, mm-hmm. more paper is being purchased and consumed now than what there was before.
I wouldn't be shocked. You know, to give credit where credit is due, a lot of this we are able to do electronically now. But, you know, just, again, exchanging those ideas with the feds and hearing from them on updates that are happening with their programs. And also at the state level, and we continue those conversations almost daily, trying to advocate to improve, you know, the Humboldt County airports and do what we can to get as much funding through the door in that effort. So.
The advocacy side, I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for the regulatory, just day in and day out, you know, when did you check this? When did you check that? I'm sure you have to put all that stuff into a computer somewhere so you can prove or sign off or whatever.
Yep.
You'd think that they would be able just to simply tap in, because it's their content, their property.
Sure.
Boom, you give them the password to that part of the, and you don't have to monkey with or ducky with it.
Yeah, exactly. We, again, giving credit where credit is due, we are able to do and submit some of our regulatory documents online now, where in the past, when I first started in this industry, they'd come out annually and you'd get your binders out and they'd go through all of your paperwork for the entire year. We are able to submit some of that ahead of time. They still come out on an annual basis. But
see, you're having to submit rather than them coming and finding mm-hmm. on their own. Thank mm-hmm. you very much. It's mm-hmm. over. Speaking
yep.
of over, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz. What were we going to talk about?
I think
projects. I cut you off, I know.
Projects and airlines.
Oh, your media celebrity status.
What?
Where did that? Amongst your network of peers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
No. I didn't have the microphone the whole time.
You'll notice you don't hear either.
we were able to get back together at our annual conference. And this is primarily the general aviation airport managers from across the state of California. There was over 100
people. So these are the Murray Fields.
Yep, Murray, Ronerville, Garberville.
Yeah.
And that group was really desperate a year ago. I had been on the board for a year or so, and they came to me, the president and soon to be past president, asked me if I wanted to be vice president, and I said, sure, if you want the worst vice president in the history of the organization.
In a moment of weakness, they said yes,
yeah,
and so did you.
Yeah,
okay.
So, but no, it's been a lot of fun. I've been working a lot with the Palo Alto airport manager, the Watsonville airport manager, the president and past president, respectively, and a lot of other airports from all over the state. And again, trying to advocate at that state level to get more money into our airports to rebuild this infrastructure, just like we're trying to do here.
So when you talk to those folks, I mean, you say Palo Alto, I think Stanford, I mm-hmm. think money's not a concern.
Right.
You say Watsonville, I think ag, a lot of big time I almost said growers, food producers, and folks, money, yeah, they can find it. You look up here for the small little guys, other than the pot growers, and, you know, okay, if you got $10,000 in cash given to you, you got some explaining to do.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Is there that kind of financial support? I mean, there's the need, sure. Yeah. But is there the financial support to be able to say, adopt a park, adopt an airport?
Well, what we're trying to identify at the state level right now, and I've been learning this history, you know, over the last few years, but I came here from South Dakota, don't you know, again.
You'd think that the Twins were having a good year, that the Vikings were teed up for something, the way he keeps visiting or revisiting.
Brian, you know I'm perpetually just mortified about my sports teams back home. It's always eluding.
Is there a hockey team?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Let's play hockey.
Yeah.
The state of hockey. In South Dakota and a lot of other states, I would venture to say most other states, there's a lot more financial support for their airport systems. And what's been happening in California, here in Humboldt and in the past, and in a lot of other rural areas, most of the time when the feds come with a grant offer, it's 90% federal, 10% local. And these small communities can't afford that 10% share because you're oftentimes talking about $1 million or
more. Lots of zeros,
right,
yeah.
Right, yeah. And that's a lot of money for a small community airport. And so these communities have turned federal funds away. But going back to South Dakota, the way it works is the community comes up with 5%, which is a lot more palatable in their budgets. The state kicks in 5%, and the feds kick in the other 90%. And we're just trying to make that case for general aviation airports in particular, the value that we have to not just trade and business in the state, but also emergency services. For example,
yeah, the fire guys.
Yeah. Our Neyland Airport, back in August, we had that closed for a couple weeks to the general public because we had 8+ helicopters coming and going and utilizing the runway up there as a landing area to support the Willow Creek fire. And that was the U.S. Forest Service and some of their partners.
So with the surplus that the state has got and brags about and brags about and brags about, is there any understanding, any desire, any recognition that, you know, if they flipped, what did they say, 200 billion, was that, or 2 billion?
I think it was 99 is the number I keep hearing tossed around. Yeah.
Flip 1% of that. You know, I would think would make a significant impact across the board if it was that 5%, then matching the 90%, and then you got to get the local yokels to kick in the 5.
Right.
Maybe now a lot of this stuff could be done and not only be more serviceable, but also with the public safety component that they give lip service to,
right,
could actually occur.
Right. And I think airports have done a poor job, especially the general aviation airports, because they don't have the time that a, you know, San Francisco and LAX, a San Diego, Sacramento, the list goes on and on. Those big airports, they have entire departments that are dedicated to governmental affairs, right? And the Yolo County or Alturas airport manager might also be the public works director and the city manager and the finance director. They don't have time to go down to Sacramento or the resources necessarily to be down there advocating and telling this story. So collectively as a group, we're coming together and kind of telling that story on the funds that have been turned back to the feds. And if we can get that state support, now all of a sudden we have more federal money flowing into the state of California and not elsewhere.
Oh, I actually had a thought. You would think that the state would be reaching out rather than having to be persuaded.
And locally,
it doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I do want to give credit where credit is due. Since I've gotten here, I've been having conversations with Senator McGuire and others. But it's really getting that broad grasp of that history and what's been happening beyond Senator McGuire's office and a couple other aviation enthusiasts.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz, the guy who's in charge of the airports. In Humboldt County.
mumble.
Kind of a constant grind for a lot of us that instead of looking out and trying to identify and making phone calls and finding ways to deal with situations, whether it's homeless or airports or mental health or whatever it might happen to be, that the electeds just kind of sit on their haunches in Sacramento and wait for those coming in willing to pay alms to have a meeting with them. It's not just this era. It goes back as far back as you want to go, but mm-hmm. they're not of the state anymore. They are the state, and it's a different perspective.
Yeah.
When we hear some of the dollars coming down, I always wonder, and how much effort and time and hours, resources, talents, whatever, did it take to get the recognition that needed to happen? Or is this just simply a by vote tactic?
Right.
I don't know. Well, you probably wouldn't want me attending any of your conventions. I could screw things up for you for decades.
No, I think it'd be great to have you next year. Yeah. Give you the microphone, not me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. How quick can you empty a room?
Some people stuck around to listen to me this year, Brian.
So how does your entity, not local but the statewide mm-hmm. group, not just get so frustrated, you throw your hands in the air and say, fine, you guys do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there's been efforts ongoing for many, many years before I arrived in California, which I'm on my fourth year now. As far as the we already covered that. From the general aviation airport side and also the commercial service airport side. And what we're trying to do is, in a certain way, bring those groups together and advocate together, because obviously, you look at LAX, when they do projects, it's a lot of zeros and there's a B in front of it, right? And we're excited up here when we're doing a 7 or 8 figure project and they're looking at 9, 10, 11 figure projects. So there's disparity there, but it's just volume and the impact that LAX has on that greater metro from an economic driver. It's very comparable to what ACV has for our smaller community. But we also have those general aviation airports that I mentioned that are sometimes in very rural areas like Neyland, California, that play that really important role in bringing that all together. And in answering your question, really identifying that to the politicians and the decision makers to try to advocate for those funds to stay at airports and rebuild that infrastructure across California is what we've been trying to do. And for our local politicians, they've been very open. I've had multiple meetings with them. Those continue. And it's trying to take it off in bites. It's a multi-year effort. You and I have talked before about some of our projects going on at ACV and our general aviation airports. We're looking at probably in a 10-year window, $50 to $100 million. Well, if you look at what we've already accomplished and what we have dedicated funding for over the next couple of years, we're almost halfway there if the number is $100 million, because it's close to $50 million in projects that we've started or will be kicking off here shortly. So
if the state put in that 5% match, you're home?
Well, if the state put in that 5% match, that would free up more federal funding that could go farther in Humboldt County and beyond across California. So,
so where are our electeds? Not the county, because you know every county is going to be pretty internally focused.
Mm-hmm.
But our state officials, are they stepping up and saying, Governor, we got to do this, or whoever's in charge of the finances and the budget?
Yep. So we worked with Senator McGuire a few years ago, and he actually introduced a bill that unfortunately got taken out of the fold and wasn't highest priority, not because of Senator McGuire, but because of other things down in Sacramento. But you know, rekindling that and trying to get that energy behind and show those numbers and do that education on what could happen, that's really what we're trying to do now to the Aviation Caucus, which includes Democrats and Republicans from both houses, and trying to get that enthusiasm built up and that support to really do something big and long-term for California's airports.
I mean, we really do have Republican state representatives in Sacramento?
Yep.
Both of them are on board?
There are support on both sides. It's doing that number, right, to get to that magic number.
Say, yeah. It's 841.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody and his shadow.
Better half.
Well, I knew I'd been dealing with the lesser half.
So do all the listeners.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of been a squirrely show a little bit, but you guys wanted to kind of take a little bit of a detour. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I have my girlfriend in the studio here with me, Nancy Lean. She's being a little shy and doesn't want to hop on the microphone.
Not even just to say hi.
No, she refused it.
And she hasn't kicked you yet.
No, that'll be coming next.
We'll build up to that one.
Yeah,
right?
As soon as we leave, I'm going to be in big trouble. Yeah, but yeah. I just wanted to highlight something that our family's going through. Nancy was recently diagnosed with breast cancer, and we're rolling into October. October has, you know, for many years been the highlight for breast cancer awareness and cancer awareness in general. And we see the football teams out there wearing pink shoes and socks and all kinds of celebrations going on. And I certainly always appreciated that, but now it has a whole new meaning to me and my family. And just wanted to throw that out there for all the ladies listening to make sure you're getting checked regularly, and certainly guys in the necessary areas too. But it's just
you won't say it, will you?
No, I won't.
You don't have to be of a certain age to understand the need for.
Yeah. Brian's educating me now.
Oh, I see. Okay, we're gonna start going back to walleye sandwiches here real quick, buddy.
But no, I just it's been an eye opener for us. And Nancy's the toughest person and the best person I've ever met or been blessed to have in my life. And I know she's gonna be fine. The folks over at Providence St. Joe's, Dr. Hardy and Dr. Tony and their teams have really hopped on this, and we can't thank them enough. And just our family, friends, and all the support that we've gotten. You know, we've had meals brought to the house and all kinds of things because we've been in doctor's appointments seemingly for the last 3 weeks. And that's just a testament to what Humboldt's all about and the community that we live in. And thank everybody and just care for your loved ones and help them out in any way you can.
Oh, I thought he was eating granola over there.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I thought you cut me off.
Just kind of rocking in the chair a little bit there. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure something wasn't going to go on. Hi, Rod. Yeah. Don't worry. Just kind of... You got another half hour, and then Winston comes back. You don't have to worry about it. Oh boy, yeah, cancer. You see some of the statistics, and it's just stunning how prevalent it is. If you go one off or two off, mm-hmm. it's like everybody, yeah. you know. Some is lifestyle induced, some mm-hmm. is genetic, some is a combination, mm-hmm. and other things you just kind of scratch your head and go, not sure why.
Yeah,
That's. So what has? I mean, I don't know how comfortable you guys feel in this. Obviously, there's mic fright on the one that really matters on this one. But mm-hmm. What triggered things? I mean, just a feeling? Something was just a little...
Yeah, it was just an oddity that she noticed. And like I mentioned, the folks over at Providence were able to get us in just a few days. And it has been, working at hyperspeed ever since. And the communication that they've had with us and with different offices, we've only had to go to one appointment out of town because they have seemingly moved heaven and earth to get her in and given her the utmost attention. And we can't say thanks enough for that. In fact, the one out of town appointment I was telling you off air, we hadn't even made it back to town, and her offices, doctor's offices here in Humboldt County, were contacting her. Yep, we have the results. We think this is going to be a positive thing. And they've just been, for the last 3-4 weeks, putting together that plan of attack to help her conquer this awful disease. So it's been really heartwarming. It's tough for me to talk about. Although it might not seem that way. Your listeners are like, geez, this guest never shuts up. But it is tough to talk about because it's somebody I care more about than anybody else I've ever met. And like I said, she's tough. She's not scared of the cancer. She's scared of the microphone in your studio here. But
we're going to have to work on when this is all said and done, we're going to have to work on that part. I mean, that's a piece of cake.
If I can do it, babe, anybody can
do it. And he proves that on a regular basis, doesn't he?
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's just following the leader, that's all.
We need to talk about that leadership around here.
Yeah. A little bit more training, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool, yeah. Cool. So I am presuming we'll be getting updates.
Yes, you will. We're starting the battle next week with the first round of chemo. That should take us through, as the schedule currently lies, and things could change, but through January, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But, like I said, cancer's never met a challenger like this, so I'm not at all worried because I know she's going to – I can't say certain words on the radio here. I don't want the FCC calling you, but
she's at least not with open mics.
Yes. She's going to kick cancer's butt is what I'll say.
Oh, that's definitely the polite way to say it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, well, certainly thoughts and prayers and that stuff. It'll be an interesting experience.
Yeah.
When all is said and done, then we'll open this mic. We'll speak in front of people. It'll be, because I think that's an awful lot of it. If nobody says anything, nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
It's. I'm sure you guys have had people say it too. It's not a death sentence.
No.
It's maybe life enriching.
Yeah. Yep. And the as soon as we found out, I was asking some folks for some help at work, and I had a phone call at 8 o'clock one morning, and by noon I was picking up the breast cancer packet from the group there in Arcata, and they were giving us a briefing, and they've been there to support, as well as the family and friends I mentioned. So
very cool.
Just thanks for a few minutes to talk about something far more important than airports. I appreciate it.
Or the twins.
Yeah, or the twins.
All right, everybody. Hang in there. Enjoy the weekend. See you on Monday.